After Jesus had been born, and after the purification of Mary, Joseph and Mary no doubt would have paid the 5 shekel redemption fee for Jesus. Since they were poor, they would have brought 2 young pigeons or 2 turtle doves for a burnt offering. Because you see, they did not have much. Once again, we see Jesus Christ coming to those, even his own parents, who had very little. Whether it's the widow who gave just a mite, all that she had, or others that did not have much of this world, we see in Scripture that Jesus Christ came not only to those that were humble, but he also came to the poor. As Jesus would later say as an adult, the poor you will always have with you.
Good morning. So good to have you today. Thank you for joining us here at Cross Point Church. Also, those that are joining in by live stream, thank all of you as well. Well, we've had a very busy, busy weekend. It began Friday night with the Christmas bash. How many parents took advantage of the Christmas bash? Yeah, I see a lot of hands going up. Now, some of you don't know what that is. That means you do not have kids in Upstreet. But the parents who had kids in Upstreet, we had a Christmas party from 6 to 8:30 on Friday night, and people brought their kids, and I think Pastor Gary said there was about 106 to 110 kids. And I came for a little bit, but I ran out of there with my life, finally. I was there for a while, and it just became overwhelming. But it was fun for a few minutes. And then I said, you know, I've got things I really need to do. Pastoral duties, of course. But anyway, it was a great time, and I was able to greet a lot of people and see all the kids up there. But it was wonderful. So thank all of you. We had 25 adults, I believe, he said, that helped out on Friday night. And then yesterday morning, we had a ladies' conference right here in the auditorium. We had about 150 ladies, I guess, showed up for that. So all of you that helped in any part making that happen, thank you so much for doing that. And then late yesterday afternoon, we had, I don't know how many people, but quite a group of people that were involved in the local Christmas parade here in Bangor. And we gave out free hot chocolate to people that came by just to let them know that we love them, no holes barred, no manipulation, no literatures crammed in their face, just here is a cup of hot chocolate. Probably would have been really good this morning, as cold as it was this morning, right? So anyway, I said all that to say, first of all, thank all of you that were involved. But second of all, tonight there is a scheduled training for all of our kids workers, and that has been canceled. So we just think with Friday night and yesterday and last night, we have all our programs operating tonight, but I just think all of you folks that are scheduled to go to that meeting, Pastor Gary said, just forget it. Just take the night off. And I think the horses are tired. As my dad used to say, teared, because he was from Missouri. My dad was always skeered and teared, all right? That means scared and tired, but, you know, that old Missouri accent, it kind of made it a little bit different. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Also, we have a tree in the back of the auditorium on the left side. If you go out the left door from here, which would be your right for many of you. But anyway, there's a tree back there with a lot of white tags on it. It's for the godparent home, the girls and the babies. And if you would like to give them a brighter Christmas, if you'd like to take a tag or a couple of tags, go buy it, wrap it, put the tag on the outside of the gift, bring it back, put it under the tree, that'd be great. Your humble servant took one last week, and I am going out sometime and getting a blender. That should be real exciting, but I'm doing it for the home. So, but anyway, whoever put that in there, hopefully they're not here today, but anyway, but I'm getting a blender for the home, whoever that was for, just to be a part, because I always like to do my part as well. So if you'd like to help us out, that'd be great. And then this year, for our Christmas offering, in front of you, there should be an envelope. It's kind of a Christmas decorated envelope. And if you would like to help, you don't have to help. But if you'd like to help, you can put a gift in there, drop it in the offering plate at any time over the next 3 or 4 weeks. And all the money that comes in for the Christmas offering, we are going to set aside, and we're going to use that money this winter to help people in our church that are elderly, single parents, and so forth, people that just don't make a lot of money in general. They don't have to be single, but they just might not make a lot of money. If they get low on oil, or they can't pay their electric bill, or, you know, whatever, we're going to step in and do our very best to help them. I think it's fair to say that our church does a lot for people on the outside. We really do, through our Godparent ministry and our recovery groups and the Mansion Church and missions and feeding the hungry down at Columbia Street. I mean, we're very involved. But we just felt like this Christmas, it would be good for us to focus on people that are here. And so if you give to that offering, it will be a blessing for you to know that you're helping someone who could be sitting very close to you or even next to you. So just keep that in mind, and we trust that everybody does something. All right, very good. And then one more thing, and then we'll get into our verse and our lesson this morning. We're getting ready to baptize in January. We baptize the fifth Sunday of every month, but this year, this month, has 5 Sundays, but the last Sunday is during the holiday week, and that's not a good week, and people are busy. So we're going to baptize on January 12th. But the baptismal class that people need to go to that have received Christ and want to get baptized is December 11th, or you can pick the 18th, and the 11th is next Wednesday. It's going to be in the cafe at 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. So if you are going to be baptized, or you would like to be baptized, or you have questions about baptism, you can go to one of those two classes, and Pastor Adam will fill you in on all of that. And then we will baptize you on the 12th of January. Sounds good? All right, let's do one more thing before we get into the lesson. Let's stand together. I see some of you are kind of dozing off a little bit, and we don't want that to happen. Going to keep that blood going, right? Keep moving. Don't worry. I'll put you back to sleep in about 15 minutes, okay? But for right now, we want everybody awake and engaged. And we're going to do our Bible verse. Let me get it on the screen for us. This time it's actually 2 verses, and this is a great verse because it goes along with somewhat what we're sharing with today. All right, let's say it together. Here we go. Matthew 1, 22 and 23. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now let me kind of explain to you how I do Scripture. Doesn't mean that you have to do it this way, but this is just me alone. And when I read the Bible, when I'm by myself early, early, early in the morning, and I mean early, early, early in the morning, here's how I would do it. Now all this took place, okay, took place, to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Now, all this took place to fulfill something that was spoken by God through this preacher guy, through this prophet. Behold. Behold means wake up and pay attention. I've got something important to say here. Modern day language, it means dummy up. Okay? Behold, God's trying to teach me something. Something that's important. Okay, Jerry, now listen to what God has to say. The virgin shall be with child, and this virgin who's going to have this child is going to bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So then what I do is I go back, because I'm a little slow, and I think, okay, what is this verse teaching me? It's teaching me that something happened or was going to happen that was prophesied that God wanted me to know about. And he's sharing it through a prophet, somebody who writes about something that's going to happen in the future. And it has to do with a young girl, this virgin, who has a child. And she's going to bear a son, not a girl, but a son, and call his name Emmanuel, which means that God is going to be with me. That's how I read Scripture. You might want to try that. Here's how sometimes we read Scripture. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, and translate God with us. Oh, good, I read my reading for the day. Praise the Lord. Check that box off. I'm good. No. John, am I right on this one? We need to absorb the Bible. We need to know what it says. We need to appropriate it in our lives, because God's word is for you and me to take, absorb, to put into our lives that we might draw closer to God. Okay? All right, let's do it one more time together. Matthew 1, 22 and 23. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Aren't you glad God is with us? It's good stuff. I don't think we fully grasp, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, the implication of God with us. We are blessed. God came and visited us. Can you imagine that? He has. Father, bless now our lesson this morning. Thank you that you dwell among us. Thank you, God, that you're with us. And we ask your blessings now as we take just a few moments for you to speak to us through your holy, perfect word. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Jess did a fabulous job promoting Christmas Eve. And the Christmas Eve's theme is unto us. So what we decided to do was to take three or four lessons and to just share about unto us. Last week we talked about the humble. This week we're going to talk about the poor. We're going to wrap it all around Mary and Joseph and Christ being born. Very humble place. But you know, there's a lot in regards to Christmas. Unfortunately, I think we all would agree that Christmas, if we are not careful, Christmas can be very materialistic. Wouldn't you agree with that? We all can become very self-indulgent. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying Christmas, having a good time. We just need to make sure that we keep Jesus Christ in the center of it all. That is very, very important. One of the early church fathers, what that means for many of you, it means a real old guy who lived a long time ago, who was a very smart guy. His name was Origen. And he lived a few years after the birth of Christ, one of the early church fathers, and he wrote, and he was a theologian. But he did not believe, are you ready for this? He did not believe in celebrating the birthdays of saints, martyrs, even the birth of Jesus. You say, that's kind of strange. Well, here's something to think about. I just want to give you some things to think about by way of introduction today. It's kind of a long introduction, but nowhere in the Bible does it say the day that Jesus was born. In fact, nowhere can we find dogmatically anywhere in historical accounts the day that Jesus was born. The early church actually cannot dogmatically either give us a time when Jesus was born. In fact, in all the Bible, there are really only two men, two individuals where it talks about their birthday. Aha! If you're ever on Jeopardy, you might need to know this. Two people. And I'll give them to you. One is found, you can look it up, Genesis chapter 40, verse 20. Now I see all the phones, right? His name is Pharaoh. It's his title, but the Pharaoh. The other one is found in Matthew chapter 14, verse 6. His name is Herod. So we have Pharaoh and we have Herod. And it actually talks about their birthday. Other than that, the Bible doesn't talk about birthdays. And Origen said, I don't want to celebrate a birthday. I want to celebrate the person's life. I like that. In other words, if we're not careful, church, the only time we celebrate the birth of Jesus or Jesus at all is on December 25th. There's a lot of days outside of that that we need to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen? It's a big event. This is a big deal. Well, exactly when the church settled on December 25th is a little bit ambiguous. It's not really known. The first recorded reference to that date as the day of Christ's birth is found in the writings of a guy by the name of Sextus Julius Africanus. How do you like that? And that was early in the third century. The earliest evidence of the church celebrating Christmas on December 25th comes from a fourth century document called the Calendar of 354. And according to this document, Christmas was being celebrated on December 25th by the church at Rome no later than AD 336. And the date, according to history, was gradually over time adopted by the church as a whole over the next several hundred years. So this idea of December 25th being Christmas is quite new. I'm glad we have it. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, why do some believe that it was chosen as December 25? Good question. Some believe the church finally decided on December 25th because there was a pagan festival that was happening, a pagan holiday known as Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, which means the birthday of the unconquered sun, which was celebrated on December 25th. This festival was inaugurated late in the third century to honor a false god, a false sun god, chief of which was Mithras. And so some believe the early church said, well, to counter this false pagan festival and these false sun gods, the chief of who was Mithras, we will choose December 25th as to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to counteract the paganism. In fact, there are some groups, there's one particular Christian group, when I say Christian group, by name Christian group, who doesn't celebrate Christmas at all. They also don't celebrate birthdays. They also don't celebrate the flag. They are not patriotic. You may or may not know who they are. So as we think about Christmas, over the centuries, things began through pagan festivals and pagan gods began to be adopted by the church. Now, that is not wrong at all, long as we keep Jesus Christ at the center. It's fine. Things like, for example, gift giving was an integral part of a pagan winter festival. And over time, it became associated with Christmas by the 18th century. That's why we give gifts. Mistletoe. Who likes mistletoe? All right. Mistletoe was sacred to the ancient Druids, who attributed both to magical and even medicinal powers. Kissing under the mistletoe may derive from a Druid or Scandinavian custom that enemies who came together met under mistletoe, and at that time they were supposed to cease fighting one another. And many believe that got adopted into the Christmas spirit. The manger scene, the nativity scene, may have originated with Saint, and you may have heard this name before, Saint Francis of Assisi in the 13th century. The practice of singing Christmas carols originated in the Middle Ages. The city of Riga in Latvia claims to be the home of the first Christmas tree, dating way back to the 1500s. Tradition only tells us that even the reformer Martin Luther may also have had a Christmas tree. Christmas trees became popular in the 17th century in the country of Germany and first appeared in America in the 19th century. So what we're doing today is a recent phenomenon. I don't want you to think that the Apostle Paul on Christmas had a tree and lights and sang Christmas carols. That's not the way it was. It didn't work that way. Okay? That wasn't part of the early church. Santa Claus. There actually was a bishop of Myra. That's modern-day Turkey. His name was St. Nicholas. And he was known by being a kind, gentle, sharing guy. And in one story, we can't authenticate it, but one tradition said that there were these three young girls who were going to be sold into prostitution. So St. Nicholas came, rescued them, brought them in, and on one particular night, the girls washed all their clothes and they hung their socks, guess what, over the fireplace to dry. And good old Bishop St. Nicholas came and dropped coins in their stockings. And there's where we inherited the tradition of stockings during Christmas. It's all good stuff. I just want us to step back and understand that what we're celebrating today was not in the New Testament. Once again, Martin Luther, the great reformer, wrote this about Christmas. And I think he hits it perfectly. Here's what he said. When I am told that God became a man, I can follow the idea, but I just do not understand what it means. I like that. I too can follow the idea of God becoming a man, but none of us really understand. He goes on to say, for what man, if left to his natural promptings, if he were God, would humble himself to lie in the feed box of a donkey or to hang upon a cross? Boy, I think Luther's hit on something here. God laid upon Christ the iniquities of us all. That means our sin. God took all your bad stuff. Think of all the bad things you've done. Okay, don't think anymore. You're done with that. All of that was put on Jesus. Some of you are thinking, that's a heavy load. You betcha it was. But I'm going to tell you something. Our Jesus has big shoulders. Don't you worry about that. He goes on to say, this is the infinite mercy of God, which the slender capacity of man's heart cannot comprehend, and much less utter, that unfathomable depth and burning zeal, now here it is, of God's love toward us. Who can sufficiently declare this exceeding great goodness of God? The love of God. God who speaks in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth, and there it was. The one who makes the sun come up and go down every day, the one that Colossians says holds everything in his hand, that God who created mankind, who breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, And the Bible says man became a living soul. It were those souls that rebelled against God, turned their back on God, but yet God loved his creation so much that the Gospel of John says that Jesus came and tabernacled amongst us. He took upon himself flesh. Tabernacle means simply that he lived amongst his creation. Why would God do that? Well, I think Martin Luther hit it right on the head. Simply, the infinite mercy of God, whose love is unfathomable. The Creator giving his life for his creation. That is the definition of Christmas. It's great to have gifts. In fact, all of our trees we decorated have all these gifts. And if you have sticky hands, there's nothing in the boxes. All right, so unless you need empty boxes, just kind of leave them where they are, nothing in them. It's great to hang your stockings. Nothing wrong with having a tree. Long as Jesus is where, church? In the center. Yeah, in the center. I don't know what you do on Christmas, and that's between you and the Lord, but I would encourage you as your pastor to start a tradition and read the Christmas story. Read the Christmas story. Especially if you have little kids. In our home, when our kids were small, we have one of those family Bibles that weigh about 95 pounds. You know, one of those, really, it's about that thick and about this big. And it's, you know, you put all the genealogies in there. But it's kind of a family Bible. And we would sit the kids down and we would open it to Luke and we would read it. And they didn't understand a word when they were young. But it doesn't matter. I wanted them to know that Christmas was more than the gifts that they were going to receive. And then it was exciting for us when our oldest began to read. I think they were about 19, and they could finally read. Don't tell Ryan I said that. And but it was so fun when you know, now he's opens the gigantic book that he could barely pick up, and now he reads the Christmas story. That's pretty cool. And now, when we gather with everybody on Christmas, now we pass that on to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. Oh, of course, we had the gifts and all the parties and all the things, but I'm just trying to share with you my heart this morning that don't allow the fun of the moment to overshadow the event for the moment. Because what we're doing today in 21st century America is not part of our Christian heritage. It's actually, I'm sorry, pagan heritage. Which is fine if we understand what we're doing. Which brings us to this. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Now, Caesar Augustus is not a person per se. This is a title for the Emperor of Rome, who was Gaius Octavius. And Caesar Augustus, as I said, is simply a title. Caesar means emperor, and Augustus means to honor or revere. And it's very interesting because this guy, Gaius Octavius, was born in about, 63-ish BC, give or take a year or two. His grandmother was the sister of Julius Caesar. And this is how God orchestrates history. You say, why is this important? Just hang on. If you don't get anything, know this. God does everything with a purpose. There are no coincidences with God. There's no luck with God. And so this guy, Gaius Octavius, is born in 63 B.C., 44 B.C., Julius Caesar, those of you that like history and you remember, you know, your old history, 44 B.C., we find that Julius Caesar is assassinated by the Senate, the Roman Senate. Boy, we think it's rough today. You wouldn't live in those days, right? They attacked him with knives, and they took care of him, right? Unbeknownst, now this is fascinating, unbeknownst to Gaius Octavius, Julius Caesar had adopted him as a son. And he finds out, and through a, which we, I don't want to just give you world history. I could tell you the whole story, but probably put you back to sleep. But this guy lives until the time of Christ, and he dies a few years after Christ is born. So God brings into the world this Octavius guy who's been adopted by Caesar to become the emperor of Rome, who just by chance declares a decree whereby Joseph and Mary have to go to Bethlehem. It's fascinating stuff. It's great stuff. And so we see here that this census to be taken, why was there a census? Well, they need to number the people. Why? Well, they would do censuses every once in a while. Typically, they were for one of two reasons. One was to get money. The other one was to register people to be in the Roman army. The Jews were exempt from being in the Roman army. They didn't have to fight in the Roman army. They were exempt. And so we find that this one then wasn't for that, but it was a poll tax. It was a tax to fund the Roman army. Rome needed money, just like we need money in our country. And so they go to Bethlehem. Here we go. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Syria and Israel are all part of the same district at that time, in that part of history. Syria now is a separate country from Israel, but you know, we're going back a couple thousand years. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. So Joseph, being from Bethlehem, he has to go all the way to Bethlehem from Galilee. I'll explain this in a minute. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. Now, if you can picture Israel being here, I probably should have put a map up. Galilee is at the top, Samaria is the center, and Judah, or Judea, is the south. Bethlehem is in the south. But wait a minute, Jerry, it says Joseph went up from Galilee. He didn't go north of Galilee. What it means is he went south of Bethlehem, but Bethlehem is at a higher elevation than Galilee, so therefore he did go up. And notice, to Judea, to the city of David. Now, David, here's another trivia question for you. David was the only king of Israel that was born in Bethlehem. Just a coincidence. And by the way, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was also born where? In Bethlehem. Because David was a prefigurement of Jesus. And so the writer here talks about the city of David, not where he reigned in Jerusalem. David never reigned in Bethlehem. He always reigned in Jerusalem, or at least the last 33 and a half years of his reign. But he never reigned in Bethlehem. Luke is a great historian. He writes the book of Acts and the book of Luke, and he gives us details that show us that we can have confidence that the word of God is true. You need to understand today, church, that your faith, your Christianity is not based on mythology. It's not based on blind faith. It's predicated on facts. That's important. People say, oh, Jerry, you just have this faith. Yeah, I have faith. I have faith in historical documentation. There's where my faith lies. Not in mythology. And as we go on, in order to register along with Mary, who he was engaged to. Well, wait a minute, Jerry. Another part of the Bible says they were married. Well, in Jewish culture, to be engaged was the same as being married. And if you were engaged, or betrothed is the word they use, and you got a divorce or you split up, you had to go through a legal process. It would be a legal divorce. So being engaged was the same as being married without the physical relationship. And so Mary goes with her husband to Bethlehem, where his roots were, to register for the census by a decree put out from an old emperor who's not going to live much longer, who only gave it out because he was adopted in the family of the emperor, who now he becomes the emperor, who gives the edict at the exact, now you ready? At the exact same time that Mary is going to have a baby, and it has to be in Bethlehem. That's why Mary didn't have the baby on the way to Bethlehem. That's why Mary didn't have the baby on the way back to Galilee after they paid their taxes and registered. Why do you say that? Because biblically and clearly, the book of Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel." Now, this last sentence hits it on the head. This one coming out of Bethlehem, out of Judah, the smallest tribe, the most insignificant one, other than Benjamin, but not significant like the northern tribes. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. In other words, even though David was born in Bethlehem, it could not refer to David. Why? Well, first of all, number one, Micah wrote this after David was dead. That's problematic. That'd be a big problem. Second of all, it refers to someone who is from long ago, from eternity, that is ongoing. And it refers to none other than the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so, ladies, this is just for you. Imagine. Your husband comes to you, and he says, "Honey, we've saddled up the animals. We've got a cart for you to ride in. I know you're just about to have a baby, but we've only got to go 70 miles. Hang on. 70 miles, that's how, now, yeah, I know, Joseph, that's only 70 miles. I'm going to hang on." You know the reality of it is? Looking back, you know, why is looking back always 20/20? Mary had nothing to worry about because that baby wasn't going to be born until she was in Bethlehem. In theology, we call it God's providence. Are you ready? Here's some theology for you today. It's free. It's a bonus. The providence of God is where God orchestrates, for the most part, underground or behind the scenes that we don't understand and don't see, to carry out ultimately his purpose for his own glory. So God chooses this guy by the name of Gaius Octavius. And even before that, he chooses his grandmother as the sister of Caesar. Just another coincidence. Caesar, another coincidence, adopts him without him even knowing it. He becomes the emperor of Rome. He puts out an edict by chance. And by chance, Micah 5:2 writes about the Messiah, this person coming out of Bethlehem from eternity. Mary, just by chance, travels 70 miles. It's a long way when you're pregnant. I don't care if you're in an airplane, if you're ready to have a baby. Over rough terrain for only God knows how long to get there because of her condition. They get to, obviously, Bethlehem. And because people are pouring in because of the census, there's nowhere for them to stay. That's why there was no place to stay. And then as we continue to look at the verse, finally, the last verse, verse number 7, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son. You see, what you need to understand as well, if you don't know, and some of you come from a faith tradition, that maybe you were taught that Mary never had a physical relationship, ever, and that she didn't have any more children or nothing. That is absolutely not true. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 56, when Jesus is dealing with people from his area in which his hometown where he lived, and Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, people said, how in the world did this guy get this wisdom? And how in the world did this carpenter's son, how was he able to do these miraculous acts? You can read it for yourself. And then it goes on to say, here it is not this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Jesus guy the son of Joseph? Is not his mother called Mary? And here we go. And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? He got all those things because he was not an ordinary man. He's God. Christmas is a big deal. This is a big deal. It's more than getting what you want on your Christmas list, and me too. And listen, I like gifts as much as anybody. If you want to buy me one, I'm not going to stop you. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is a bigger deal than Christmas gifts, or stockings, or singing Christmas carols, or putting lights on your tree, and those are all good things, and we do them too. But this is a big deal. And people were struggling with Jesus back in the book of Matthew chapter 13. We'll get there one day in our series. We're in chapter 11. What were they struggling with? Here's what they were struggling with. It's the same thing that people today are struggling with. They don't believe that this man called Jesus was God in the flesh. 2,000 years ago they struggled, and they struggle today. There was no room for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. People that had filled the inns and all the surrounding areas in this small village called Bethlehem. Bethlehem was not a city. It's a small village. As we said last week, that's why the shepherds had no trouble finding him. But it was kind of crowded now because people coming in because of the decree, because of the providence of God. The reality of it is, Gaius Octavius, he didn't have a choice. He did it just thinking it was him, but it was God orchestrating it all. Comfortless, are you ready? Smelly, how would you ladies like to have a baby out in a cave with a bunch of animals? Smelly, chilly, comfortless, surrounded by noisy animals. God used the poor to bring in, are you ready? The wealthiest gift that man could ever receive. You know, I don't know if you follow these things. If you do, it's fine. And I mean that seriously. I don't care. I was going to read a few, but then I thought, that's kind of stupid. I don't mean the events. I just meant sharing it. But I got online and I looked up, you know, Diana, and, you know, when she had her two sons, and, you know, people go crazy on that stuff. And then, you know, recently it was, you know, Kate Middleton. And then, of course, we know that was a few years ago. She had a baby. And then, of course, the Markle girl there, whatever her name is, she had, you know, a baby. And I just kind of read these articles and I thought, I'm trying to be respectful, okay, so forgive me, but I don't care, really, you know, I just struggle with some of this stuff. It's just a human being that is fortunate, and that's debatable, to be born in an extremely wealthy family that will never have to work a day in their life. And I'm not against royalty. I'm not against their babies. I'm not, you know, if you're into that, you know, go knock yourself out. But I'm into Jesus being born because Jesus saved my soul. I'm sorry, Meghan Markle's baby's not going to save anybody. And I'm glad they had a baby, praise the Lord and all that. But you know what? If we Christians could get excited as much about Jesus as royalty, we'd be all better off. That's free, but that's the truth. So how's that one? And I'm sharing with you this morning as we get ready to close. As much as we love Christmas, as much as we follow royalty, and nothing wrong with any one of those two, but I'm here to tell you, you better make sure that Jesus is the center. Because that baby who grew up and was born in this probably a cave, Jesus was probably born in a cave, in a bad environment, was none other than God himself. So what do we learn? I just jotted down a few things. First of all, there's a great scripture, Proverbs 22:2, rich and poor have this in common. Here's something you better never forget, and this is it. The Lord is the maker of them all. Let me tell you something this morning. I don't care how much money you have. You're no better than the poorest person on the planet because God made you both. And something else, God died for you both too. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses or belittles the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. What's the implication of that verse? Here it is. I type this out. Our treatment of others reflects and affects our relationship with God. You can't mistreat people less off than you and have a good relationship with God. Why? Because they were created in the image of God just like you. There's an old hymn called Ivory Palaces. Man, I thought the 8 o'clock crowd was going to just jump up and clap and, you know, give me a raise after I shared this, right? But it's a great hymn because it talks about how good God is and what he did for us. Here it is. I'll give you one line of the hymn. Out of the ivory palaces, and referring to heaven, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. It's pretty good. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. Aren't you glad that he came? We should never forget where we've come from. And we should never become so proud that we do not help those less fortunate than ourselves. And remember this Christmas season to keep Jesus in the center. Well, let's stand for just a moment as we get ready to go this morning. You guys have been so attentive. Thank you so very, very much. I'm going to ask Mark and Pencil if they'd come, and Diane, you can come as well. I don't know where you are this morning spiritually, but I know this, God loves you. And as we read that verse in that hymn on ivory palaces, God has orchestrated in his providence. You know, as I look at history, I'm thankful that I wasn't born 2,000 years ago. I'm glad that I live in modern culture. What about you? Do you enjoy riding your car home today, or would you rather be in a horse and buggy? It's 5 degrees. Ladies, are you looking forward to going home and cooking with wood with a big pot, or are you going to do like me? You're going to Taco Bell. I mean, come on now, right? So don't give me this. Well, I wish I lived like... No, you don't. No, you don't at all. God has put us in the 21st century because that's his desire for us. God knew I wouldn't make it 2,000 years ago. But God has placed us in a place where we can cry out to God and receive him. And Ryan's going to come right now and close our service. Mark and Diane are over here. Pencils over here. If you're not absolutely sure that when you die, and by the way, you are going to die, the mortality rate is 100%. I'm going to die. I just don't know when. Come talk to these people. Because when you die, our goal is for you to go to heaven. Amen, church? It's our goal. If you're struggling today in your faith, physically, emotionally, if you've got areas of your life where you say, boy, life is just, come. They'll pray with you. They'll cry with you. They'll laugh with you. They love you. We are here because we love you. Thank you so much for being here today. I know people are coming and going, and Christmas is just right around the corner. If we don't connect in the next couple of weeks, I want you to know that I'm so glad that you were here today, and I wish all of you a Merry, Merry Christmas.